The Rush Hour. Gus Warland, Jude Bolton, and Wendell Saylor. This is the Triple M Rush Hour. Rush
Hour. Well, welcome to the Rush Hour with Gus, Jude, and Wendell. Follow us on our socials at Rush Hour Triple M. It's our handle. A Monday, we had a very nice Friday, boys. How was your weekend?
Yeah, really good weekend, lads. I had my wedding anniversary, 13 years.
That's
unlucky
nice.
For some, but
a little bit of loving on the weekend then.
Oh, no, it was good fun. We had a bit of a staycation in the city here in Sydney.
Nice.
It was lovely.
Oh, so. It's not like you guys to leave the kids at home.
I've got to say this. It's Lynette Bolton and obviously Jude, mate. They're the power couple. People from the AFL are still talking about the weekend they were down there. They said that they're their favourite couple.
Oh, look, there's no doubt they can both have a good time.
Yeah,
because they practice it a lot, leaving those kids at home all the time.
Please,
abandoned. Abandon your beautiful.
You're gonna get docs calling. Knock him
out. I had a bucks party. I had a staycation as well. I'll tell you about a little bit later.
Bucks parties are loose.
Well,
very loose.
Yeah, we'll talk about it later. Yeah.
Bucks party. How old? 55.
You got. I'm 54, but the bloke getting married is 58.
Oh,
first
mate.
Marriage too. Oh. Rob getting married on Sunday. I'm best man.
Take it a while to find the right one, but it's good. It's good. At least he's certain about
it. He's not everyone's cup of tea, let me tell you. Took a while to find anyone that liked him, let alone loved him. Want to talk about this young man, guys, and I'm going to play a little bit of audio now if I can set the scene for you. Freshwater Beach on the northern beaches of Sydney. This young boy's only got a few days to live. He's got a terminal illness. He's from Joey's, fantastic school across there in Hunters Hill that we've been to, Jude, and spoken to the whole assembly there. This young boy, as I said, hasn't got long to live. All his mates from Joey's all get themselves outside the house and they just stand there on the driveway, on the street, next door neighbour's lawn, back lawn of the house by 250 blokes, and they start singing the school songs. Do you get anything more kinder than that? A bunch of guys who just love their mate who's going to be missing soon all just getting around him like that.
Yeah, great sense of community. I guess it's just, awful for the young man and obviously his family and all those close friends. But, I mean, just to see that group of guys just get around their mate in such a dire time, it's pretty special, yeah.
Kindness still.
Yeah, that was Joey's. Joey's wasn't the school. I didn't realise about this young man, what he was going through, but some of my friends, Marty Downs, Simon Patterson, their kids go to school. So I've been over there watching rugby and that, and I've done some clinics over there. And can I say, I'm not surprised. They love their mates. They're a family over there. And one of the girls here, when I was at the Sevens, she actually told me about it, and it didn't really hit me until over the weekend I saw what happened, and then I saw how emotional she got. You know, kids, mate, they're so precious, and we'd do anything for our kids, and I couldn't imagine what his parents are going through.
No, absolutely. Yeah. But to know that community's around them and everyone's organised that, and that little 1, 2, 3, that was to go from one song to another, and they just did that over and over and over again as a young man with the windows open got to hear all his mates singing to him. So
incredible.
Tipping our lid to you guys, and just that kindness is just underrated in this beautiful city of ours. Let's be kinder to each other.
We have to. You know, it doesn't cost anything to be kind, and you never know what people are going through. Plenty of love from us, and, we're here to support you guys.
Absolutely right. We'll change it up. We're going to talk about the Australian Open. We've got Manu coming on. We've got some wonderful stories today on the show, but let's just remember to be kind to each other as we're going home in the traffic. It's tough times out there for people. You never quite know what they're going through. But we love you, and we love Joey's, and love you for what you did there, guys. Time now to talk a little bit of tennis.
Goodbye, nation. Too much grunting. Rush hour.
That's not too bad at all. The Joker, we've given him plenty of stick, haven't we, over the years?
We've ripped
doing
into him,
Dead Set Legends and stuff. He was always what was it we used to call him?
He was an easy target, but honestly, he's undeniable at the moment at how good he is. He's just been phenomenal. 10 Australian Open wins, 22 Grand Slam titles, equaling Nadal. He's just phenomenal.
But one thing we didn't question his tennis game or the way that he carries himself. Because when he's on the court, he kills it. at just different stages, he was just, you know, doing what he wanted to do. Mate, and sometimes when you're the best at what you do, you just do things your way. And I got to say, he was never going to lose the Australian Open.
No.
And I've given him an uppercut once or twice here. But, mate, he is the GOAT.
Let's go back to that moment where he got title number 22. He loves bouncing that ball, doesn't he?
That's worse.
Bit too long for me. It's annoying.
Well, it is tennis.
Country men and women were there as well. He won 6-3, 7-6, 7-6. So the Greek took him to a couple of tie breaks.
But Tsitsipas
is again. He did have a feeling like he was never going to lose that that match.
Yeah, 100%. And that's the thing. We love sport. We're all texting each other on our little chats and that. And I've got to say this. We banned him from coming into the country last year for his visa, and he did the wrong thing.
Yeah, he filled in the form wrong.
He understands that, but also he got worded right wrong too. But he knew in his head that he did the wrong thing. But you know what he said to himself? I said to himself, okay, I'm going to come back. I'm going to win the Australian Open. We opened the borders up to him, and, mate, he taught everyone a lesson.
But the crowds outside of Melbourne Park as well.
Best ever.
Huge Serbian contingent, and even the jacket. There's people been getting stuck
inside
the 22.
That's what I was going to ask you about before we go on to the ladies, the jacket. So these team provided it for him. Yeah. He knew nothing about it. A diamond number 22, which showed that he had equaled Nadal's record. I was asked on the Today Show this morning about it. I thought it was a little bit of disrespectful, I thought.
There's no difference to, like, the Penrith Panthers having back-to-back caps on the stage straight after. It happens in all sports. I think people read into it because of
him.
A bit unlikable at times.
Fair enough.
I think he's he's head and shoulders above others at the moment.
And when we talk about guys like Messi, you know, we talk about guys like Pelé and then talk about Tiger Woods, what separates them from other people is the greatness. The great ones have something different. And as much as we don't like the Joker sometimes, he is one of the greats and he is a GOAT.
And he's had to play against Federer and Nadal 100%. Throughout his career as well.
Yeah, he's going to mop up now that those blokes are retired or getting injured more likely. Sabalenka won, first time major for her, which was fantastic. What about the Aussies winning the doubles?
Kubler and Hijikata, fantastic.
A couple of Aussie blokes that weren't even going to play, they get a wild card and they go on and win the whole thing.
Good little cash earner. I think it was like $690,000 they shared.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, I know, but even the girls, I don't think we give the girls enough airtime too, but even some of my mates go, the girls shouldn't get the same amount of money as the men because they don't play the...
Well, that's a whole different discussion,
I know, but who cares? Like, it's Australian Open, mate, the women, they are outstanding. And then the next generation of girls, like your daughters, my daughter, you know, they look up to these young girls. And,
what about my incredible daughters? My daughters not can't play tennis?
That was an incredible women's final.
Yeah, that's awesome. But we don't give it enough airtime. But we're all talking about, Joker and that. But the women, mate, they set a standard as well.
Yeah, Sabalenka was absolutely incredible. I prefer to watch women's tennis than men's tennis.
I agree.
Always have and absolutely love it.
I wonder why.
So, just a quick question. Is he the GOAT? Is he the greatest of all time? I just want a straight yes or no.
Yep.
100%.
Yep, he is the GOAT. May not like it, but that's just the way it is.
Are you on the bandwagon now?
As a quality tennis player, there's no doubt loose behaviour at sporting events, around the sporting events, before, after, during.
People lose their minds.
Not a massive shock that our Triple M listeners have got loose at some stage. I remember Pagey once. Got thrown out of the cricket, the one dayer.
Oh, yeah.
When you could take a case in per person.
Oh, yeah.
So he went with a crew and they all took a case.
No.
And he got a little loose, the big fella, and he got stumbled downstairs. There's a whole story that goes with it.
Yeah.
But you can imagine Pagey doing that back in the day. Today in the NFL, Kansas City over Cincinnati Bengals, 23-20. Incredible game, came down to the last second, and the Eagles smashed San Francisco 31-7. And that's what I want to talk about with you boys briefly, because the Philadelphia Mayor, Jim Kenney, encouraged fans of his hometown to celebrate safely and responsibly because they normally climb up anything they can, like up on hoardings, up on poles, up on traffic lights. So he said to the councils, I want you to grease them up. Grease them up so people
all
can't climb up them. Well, that was a massive fail because right now in Philadelphia, there's not a pylon or a pole or a traffic light without some idiot on the piss literally sitting on top of them.
That's some amazing footage of almost like a glass bus stop and about 10 people on it and then they've fallen through it like idiots.
Why do they have to celebrate that way?
Oh, well, Parramatta did it, didn't they, back in the day?
Mate, I forgot this. Yeah, I did a commercial in and around a couple of years ago at Cumberland Oval around there, and The fans burnt the
stand went at Cumberland Oval there.
But what happened? I don't know why they did that.
Well,
just partying.
I imagine they went sober and they weren't happy with something. So that's what happened. But let's go back to the Brekkie show, Mick and MG. Great show. Loving that. They're absolutely killing it. They had a bloke called Edge on the line this morning. Let's have a listen to what Edge said.
It must have been about 20 years ago now. I won a competition to some free tickets to the cricket.
Yep.
Went to see South Africa versus Australia at the SCG.
Yep.
At the time, there was a tall, lanky spinner for the South African. His name was Simcox.
Yep, Paddy Simcox.
Anyway, fairway into the game was getting a bit rowdy. And next thing you know, there's a bit of a kerfuffle down on the boundary. Yep. And Simcox has been hitting the back of the head with a barbecue chook.
Shut up and take my money.
I remember that. I do remember that. A full chook.
Full chook. Barbecue
chook. They must have been drunk because the barbecue chook's so delicious.
Yeah, mate, what you wouldn't
try it unless someone's really, really annoying. What about you boys?
One of my mates, they won a local footy comp and one of my mates had an old Kingswood and it was on its last legs, but they decided to spray paint the Kingswood and they were going to take that around and do almost
in the team colours.
Team colours and things. And they've taken it down to the local oval. And one smart egg thought, let's angle grind the top of the car off so they can DJ from the front and play some music and celebrate on Mad Monday.
What could go wrong?
So when they angle grind it, suddenly all the lining of the roof suddenly got caught fire. So the top of the car was on fire. Then they're doing donuts on the local oval. Just idiots, you know, like getting loose.
Yeah, that's what we like. Give us a call on 133353. What is your loose behaviour that you've seen or been a part of around sport? Troy Warner, boys, a great mate of mine. He's a Parramatta fanatic. He absolutely loves it. He goes, Parramatta fans are smart. Won the comp, burnt down the oval and got a world-class stadium built for us. Now we have an even better world-class stadium on the same spot. So you're absolutely right. Go Para, Troy. He's an absolute tragic.
Loves it.
Poor bloke. You'll never get to see him win another comp.
Yeah, I've seen him on his socials and I think he was on Channel 9. They went inside his...
There's no way. He's got a Para
he's
cave.
He's got a shrine, yeah.
Yeah, he's absolute bloody legend.
But I will say this, Parramatta... their window is closed.
Here we go. Give us a call on 133353. All around bad behaviour around sporting events. And Gavin from Saratoga's giving us a buzz. G'day, Gav.
Oh, g'day, legends. How you going?
Yeah, good. Well, thanks, mate. What's your story?
Good to have you all back on board.
Thank you.
Cheers,
thank you, mate. Mate, I was at my son's under 13 soccer game last year, and the ref was making some pretty dodgy calls, and a few of the parents were kind of saying some things on the sideline, but it was more kind of towards each other without not going crazy or anything. It was just tongue-in-cheek. And I've said, the refs were in the wrong colour jersey. And then apparently he heard that and he came over and gave me a yellow card. And I thought it was kind of a bit of a G-up. And I brought my phone out and went to take a photo. And then he got all flustered, and as they do, and pulled out a red card and sent me, and apparently I had to leave the whole oval.
Oh, wow. You're a bad egg, Gav.
And my special needs son is in the team.
Oh.
And I'm like, I can't. But, like, they actually, when I found out and had to go to the judiciary and everything, I looked into, you know, just the legalities of their organisation. And I'm
their power, yeah.
Yeah, and I'm like, well, I don't warrant actually being here. For what was said, I said this was just a tongue-in-cheek thing and blah blah blah, and I ended up getting a one-match ban, and they fined the club like $100, and that's ridiculous. But anyway, I learned my lesson.
You're our sort of bloke, Gav. Keep listening, brother. What about Kate? G'day, Kate.
Hey guys, glad to have you back.
Oh, thank you very much.
So this isn't me because I'm not like that. This is my cousin. Yes, and when we were in high school, we played hockey on the school team, and she fancied herself as, you know, the goalie of all time. Mm-hmm. Personally, I think it's just because she didn't have to move much. But one of the teachers swapped her out with another girl, and she's just cracked old love across the hand with her hockey stick so she can go back into the goal.
Oh,
she's just hit the other goal. That's not nice at all, Kate.
Accidentally.
Tonya Harding.
Oh, yeah. Accidentally on purpose.
Oh, my goodness.
Thank you, Kate. Wow.
Let's go to Chris. How are you, Chris?
Yeah, g'day, boys. How are we doing?
Yeah,
Not too bad. Tell us about the looseness you've seen in sporting events.
Yeah, I flew to Perth last year for the State of Origin, and there was this sports star who tried to push in getting onto the aeroplane. He was a dual international, and they asked for the rose higher than 15 to go first. And this bloke tried to get on, and the little guy who called them on had to make this bloke stand in the naughty boy corner.
There's no way that would be anyone that we know.
I think it might be.
You don't behave
he's
like that.
Shaking
in
his
all
head.
Seriousness, you're not that sort of cat, are you?
I don't think that's a true story. But something did happen on a flight, but it wasn't that.
Okay.
And I stood my ground, and someone got moved into the naughty corner. It wasn't me.
Tell us the story. You can't just leave us like that. Can you tell the story?
Okay, I'll tell the story.
Okay.
And it's like Dan Ganane. Dan Ganane, it's his mate from Virgin.
Okay.
So a couple of years ago, 3 or 4 years ago, the Titans were playing the Broncos in a final
thriller.
Up Suncorp Stadium. I think it was 4 or 5 years ago. I don't know. Anyway, I'd just done the RUAK stuff, and I was flying up there, and this bloke was sitting next to me. There was me and him, and there was a spare seat in the middle.
Mm.
Anyway, I was pretty emotional because it's RUAK and that. But I was cool, but I wanted to get to Brisbane.
Wanted to sit there and have a bit of peace and quiet.
And obviously see my mum as well, because I always can't see my mum before I'd go Triple M. Anyway, this bloke was having a few drinks, and I just think he was in a bad way. And I sort of just said, mate, do you mind if I just go down the back? And he moved. And then by the time I come back, he was like real chirpy, and he was drinking and that, and it was fine. But then he sprayed me. And then, like, he sprayed me. And racially vilified me on the plane.
What?
Yeah. So I asked, that's a big one. I asked if he could be removed or could I move somewhere. There was no other seats. So the hostess felt really bad. She said, I'm so sorry, I can't move you anywhere. And so I went and sat in the corner until he landed. So as I put my head to have a look, he goes, oi, move your big black head out of the way.
Oh,
mate, so yeah. I just, oh, and that's at this stage... Yeah, at this stage, I broke it. I just said, look, I need to be removed from here because I'm not happy at the moment. By the time we got off, the Australian Federal Cop was there, and this bloke got arrested and got banned from
brother.
It.
Brother.
So, yeah, I know.
Shouldn't have to put up with that.
Sorry to hear that.
No one needs to put up that, but like, it's like the Eddie Jones thing. Like, I know we've all been through stuff, but like, I just think, like,
no, we can't understand what you go through in that situation.
I was just thinking, if that was my daughter or my son, and there was a young PNG girl to the left, so when he said that, I'm thinking, if I don't see enough for you, but I'm sorry I went down that road, but it was...
Yeah, I thought it was going to be a fun story.
No, it wasn't. That's why. But
it
that's
certainly
what,
wasn't.
But when a caller calls in like that and tells a story that's not true, that you've got to make them right.
No, fair play, Del. Beautiful, mate. Time now to talk to this chef, good bloke, champion, French Aussie.
Our next guest is our favourite thing to come out of France since Eclairs. Second favourite thing to come out of Sinclair's and croissants, actually. He's in the top 10 things to come out of France that we love. In the last decade, he's become one of Australia's most famous celebrity chefs. You'll know him from MKR, Plate of Origin, or POO, Australia's Got Talent, or AGT. The only abbreviated TV show we haven't seen him on is RBT, which is probably a good thing. Please welcome to the Rush Out, sorry, I mean the RH, Manu Fidel.
Yeah, he's got a brand new sauce out, boys. It took him a long time to come up with the name. It's called The Sauce.
The Sauce.
So we're not talking about that necessarily because he's got a son that's pretty good at rugby league. Unfortunately, he's left the Mighty Roosters and he's gone to the Rabbitohs. We've got him on the line to talk about all things Manu this afternoon. How are you, mate?
Bonjour, bonjour.
Mate, your son, Jonty's, he's jumped ship. He's gone from the good guys to the bad guys.
It depends who you're asking.
Yeah. He must be pleased, mate.
Jonty's been playing rugby since he was 9. He's followed the rabbits for all the time, and it was his dream. And you know, he's absolutely excited and very happy about it.
Manu, how does it make you feel being a dad? I know myself when I go and watch my kids play sport, it's the best feeling. This club, my son started there, Tristan, when I was at the Waratahs. Adrian Lamb's son was there, Lachlan Lamb, and also Victor Radley. Victor Radley's not a bad player, just quietly. But how does it make you feel that he was a part of the Clove Valley Crocs setup?
I'm still pinching myself, to be honest with you. You know, like we, you know, when your kids are everything, to be honest with you, and it was his dream, and you know, he's already got a foot in the squad, and hopefully he can turn it to become a pro very soon, and that'll be a dream come true. That's it, you know. And then I can I can now relax, and he's got a job for, you know, for the next 20 years or so.
Manu, who was his idols as a young man growing up, and does he model his game on anyone in particular?
I don't know. He's got fierce, I suppose. He's changed. He changed position a few times. He was full back, then on the wings, and now he's inside center. So he's tried a few different position, and the inside center is where he enjoys the most.
We'll talk about the Rugby World Cup a little closer to it, because France are a huge chance of winning that. But let's talk about the sauce by Manu. Obviously, that's where we know you and we fell in love with you. What's this fresh sauce all about?
Well, you know, I was on my kitchen rolls for so many years begging for the contestant to, you know, bring me some decent sauce, and it was never happening. So one day I just decided, bloody hell, I just got to do my own. And it's been, you know, it's been a hard journey, but it's been on the market for 3 years now. And it's just about to do quite well. So it's the only fresh sauce on the market. You know, there's no crap in it. It's made the proper way. And, yeah, it's very exciting.
Manu, we've got a fellow presenter on Triple M here, Brendo, who basically doesn't like any condiments or any sauces at all. And we basically just turned to you.
What is wrong with you?
I know. We absolutely ripped him, because he said, like, you're the expert and you love your sauce. What do you say to someone like that who just does not believe in any condiments whatsoever?
Well, you know, you just need to get out a bit more, you know, and just experience some stuff, you know. I mean, you know, I suppose if you talk about tomato sauce and barbecue sauce, I understand. But if I make you a nice peppercorn sauce, mate, you've got to try it. It's delicious.
Mate, you guys are the chefs. It's a whole new world now. I remember when I came through Rugby Union, I was good friends with Matt Moran, who's one of my very good mates.
Yeah.
You guys are like rock stars now. You're everywhere. How much has it changed, you know, cooking and obviously going on TV and stuff?
It's crazy, man. I'm fourth generation chef. I think my granddad and my great-granddad would be turning in their grave right now because it was slavery in their days, you know. It was just absolutely hard work, and you know, and now we're just considered, like, you know, artists in some ways. it's pretty cool. But I came to Australia 23 years ago, you know, and I thought I was going to be behind the stoves for the rest of my life, and I got given the chance to do a little bit of TV and became bigger than I thought. And you know, I think it's the best thing I've ever done is to come here, really.
Yeah, we love having you here too, mate. You're a good bloke. We've certainly taken you under our wing, and we love having you as our French Aussie. So all the best with the new sauce. It's called The Sauce by Manu, and all the best to Jonty as well. Hope he does
Thank you, and
his first crack at playing with the big boys at the Rabbitohs.
Much appreciated, guys. Thank you for having me.
Good on you, mate. Absolute pleasure. There's Manu. This weekend, my mate Rob on Sunday gets married to beautiful Rose. We can't quite believe that Rose, A, was going out with him, let alone 8 years later, they're still together, and now they're going to be walking down the aisle. So Rob asked me to be best man. Another couple of blokes, Clint Newcomb and John Spencer, are the other groomsmen.
Did you organise the bucks?
I did. So I said to Rob, what would you like? And he goes, I don't want any strippers. I don't want any of that funny business. I'm 58 years of age. Yeah, okay. I love the lady I'm about to marry. So I just want to have a nice night, stay at the Ovalo Hotel down there in Woolloomooloo.
Oh, yes, yeah.
And then we'll go to the meat and wine company, have a good feed, and then we'll go to a cigar bar and so forth.
Oh, lovely.
So we did exactly that. But the cigar bar wasn't a cigar bar. It was called The Loft, and I had looked it up, and it was a very nice place to go and have a nice drink, look across the city, cigar and some whiskey. But when we turned up, it was full on.
How do you mean full on?
Full on.
Well, describe it.
Elaborate.
The way to describe it was these kids looking around and thinking, whose dads have just turned up to take them home because we look so out of place.
So you've stepped into a scene from Babylon, have you? Like, it's just pretty raunchy, and then some old dudes have walked in.
And then I don't want to say who it was in our group of five. Mm. But a young lady came up to him and said that she had a bit of a battle over the years with her father and that she wanted to perhaps enjoy the company.
No way.
Of an older man.
No way.
Daddy issues.
Yeah. So
what happened? I mean, I'm all in here.
So what happened at that stage was I said to all the boys, come on, we're at the wrong place. Got dropped off at the loft. It's actually another place called the loft. Oh. So we're at the wrong loft. So four of us left the loft.
One didn't.
One didn't.
Oh, my goodness. Mate.
And all I can say is that we didn't see him back at the hotel.
Wow.
We didn't see him for the Sunday breakfast, which was organised afterwards, and he hasn't been on the WhatsApp. So he's either dead or so happy that he doesn't quite know how to control himself or to explain it.
He's like Doug from The Hangover. Where
is he? He's missing.
Mate, wow. you know what's funny?
He's MIA.
There's a couple of things here. I just want to put this tightly. We've got five daughters between us, okay?
Yeah.
I understand that story. But yeah, mate, he's like, good luck to him, but he's got to be better.
He's won the jackpot.
No, he's got to be better, mate. So he's better than that.
Loft one is better than loft two, isn't it?
What about this, boys? Local councils, they blame the pandemic, mergers, bad weather, and ratepayers who know how to complain. All the councils that have had complaints about them, a list has been lodged. Number one, Central Coast Council.
Really?
All our listeners up there on the Central Coast, your council have had the most people give them stick than anyone else. Number two, Canterbury. Northern Beaches, my one, which is a huge council now.
Of course.
They've merged. And number three,
yeah.
Georges River, number four, Sutherland, five, Bankstown and Inner West are in the top 10 as well. So they're the ones that...
You ever complained to the council over
mate,
the top?
I couldn't give a monkey's, no. Okay. I mean, honestly, I reckon it's a bit of a... it's a bit of an effort to do it. There'd be phone calls to be made. There'd be forms to fill in. I just wouldn't sort of do it.
I remember living in Annandale and I was living
that
near...
That was when you were happiest.
Yeah.
Single... Swanee, right near the pub.
He's happy now,
but he was the happiest.
But they were getting, they were trying to put a DA through just to do a development at the back of the pub. And there was all these complaints from the neighbours and that sort of stuff because I didn't like the live music and stuff. So I was like, I'll help you out. I'll go and, you know, put in a good word at the council. So I went to the Inner West Council and there was the first experience of sitting at the council and hearing all of the complaints. Mm. And they go, they shuffle the main people who are attended forward because you're there to listen to the... And they said, who's here to attend this particular complaint? And one lady put her hand up about 15 times. She was complaining on everything across the council. I was like, that's the sort of whinges we're dealing with.
Yeah, here, I can't cop people like that.
I don't have time to complain. I'm a bit like you. I got better things to do with my time. Yeah. I understand why people complain sometimes, but there's some people who just like parking and all that. Like I had a bit of a problem there, and I had to go to a
mediation.
Yeah, if I didn't go there, like
what did you do wrong?
I just kept parking in the visitor's spot.
But were you a visitor?
No, but
well, don't park in the visitor's spot.
Okay, because there's.
So not that hard, mate.
So Tristan and Tara had the two
spots. Oh, no one cares about your parking issues, mate.
No, I know, but I'm just saying. But then I had to go, like, and sit there, and then I just kept doing it because I could. So they used to leave notes on my car saying it's a bit rude to keep doing what we're asking you not to do.
That's exactly why there's a complaint.
Exactly. Sort of that's what I would complain about. That
I know, but there's five visitor car. Why can't I just park in it?
Because they're for visitors, mate.
I know, but it's not full.
That's the rules, you knobhead. Okay, boys, a bit of a sports update. Stephanie Gilmore has won her eighth world title. How unbelievably great is she? A, at surfing, but G, as a role model and just the way that she holds herself, an absolute gun. Stephanie Gilmore, 8 world titles now.
Passes the Great Lane Beachley and, she's just been phenomenal at the top of her sport for so long. Incredible effort.
Mate, once again, like Lane Beachley, she set that standard.
Yeah.
And the culture of, I suppose, surfing and lifesavers and that, it's great because you've had her. Sally Fitz is a wonderful young kid from Wollongong. She's, and then even Steph Gilmore, mate, what a wonderful feat. I was in Hawaii about 6-7 years ago with my kids and my wife, and Steph was there, and my daughter goes, can I get a photo with her? So I asked her, and she took a photo with the kids and that, and she was just so down to earth.
Of course. Yeah. Absolutely. Rare, but she's won 33 tour events so far. Just incredible. What about Graham Arnold? Obviously a great World Cup.
Champion.
He has signed for another 4 years. Apparently the deal's worth about $5 million. So pretty decent dough. Obviously a bit of pressure there. Got Asia Cup, World Cup to qualify for. But he deserved that, didn't he? He put us on a great run across there in the World Cup.
Oh, he did so well at the World Cup. And there was a lot of pressure in leading in there. And he put the finger up to some of the naysayers by getting the qualification. But to deliver on that, I think he absolutely deserves his chance to take us to another World Cup.
Apparently, he had big money interest still from Netherlands, England, and Scotland, but decided to remain with the Socceroos.
Yeah, I love that, and that's a good lesson for anyone in and around companies and sports. If you hire someone to do a job, just put people around them, let them. That's what Wayne Bennett did at the Dragons in 2009, 2010. Dragons haven't been the same since he left. You know, they haven't won many final series. But when Wayne went there, Wayne said, look, I'll take care of the football team. You look after the sponsorship. I'll make sure that we've got a very competitive team and a great culture. And no one played around on Wayne's watch.
How could you get Wayne Bennett into this discussion about the Socceroos?
Because it's about setting standards, and that's what he's done there, and that's why he stayed with the Socceroos, and I'm so happy. That's what we need more of, loyalty, mate.
We are quick to move people on, though, aren't they? Like they've invested in them first. They've picked them for a reason, and then sometimes we give them the back.
Sorry about that, mate. I'm sorry I didn't mention one of your cricket, John Buchanan or someone like that, Darren Lehman.
Kansas City and the Philadelphia Eagles will play in the Super Bowl in a couple of weeks' time. We'll obviously have all the updates in the lead up to that from here and also in America. Mitchell Moses' deal with the Dogs is off, which would be fantastic for Parramatta fans. But at the end of the day, how could they possibly afford him anyway?
Oh, mate, they've got the same salary cap stuff as Roosters.
Settle down, mate.
Mate, that's what I like that. Look, Mitchell Moses is a good young player. I want him to stay at Parramatta. West Tigers are still keen for his services.
Okay.
But I wouldn't go back to the West Tigers at the moment. I reckon he needs...
You don't think under Sheens and Benji?
They're a couple
slightly
of
different
away,
culture?
Yeah, but I think where he's at now, him and Dylan Brown, because, mate, they're going to obviously pay those two $1 million each. You're going to have
plus.
To. You're going to have to put players around them.
Mm.
I like Mitch Moses. A lot of pressure on him. I hopefully he stays there. But I understand the Dogs don't need Mitch Moses. You've got a guy called Matt Burton. Mm. That's who I'd make captain of that team.
Yeah, exactly right. And just the last one, Sam Burgess rushed to the aid of a visually impaired fan who had collapsed at a Rabbitohs training session at Redfern Oval yesterday. We all know Sam. We all know that type of bloke he is. He's had plenty of stick, plenty of bad press, and he's probably deserved some of that. But at the end of the day, he did a fantastic thing there. And he did that, you know what, without even thinking about it. Saw it happen, ran across and fixed it. And good on Sammy for that, mate. We'll give you a rap when we hear those type of things.
Well, that's the thing. You guys know he was, he's obviously been a part of our family, and he always loves coming on. And that's nothing new for me to see Sam carry himself, because obviously the mum Julie, she's an absolute legend. But like all those guys are good. Luke, Sam, Thomas, and George, and that. And
there's plenty of them.
Yeah.
It's time now for one of these. Give us a call, 133353, answering this question. Can you wear your mate's undies? 133353, your chance to win $100 thanks to our mates at JB Hi-Fi.
This has come across your desk. Where's it stem from?
Have a look at the bloke to the right of you.
Yeah.
Have a look at Wendell Saylor wearing other blokes' undies.
What? Is this what you're doing?
No.
Answer the question.
It was only
did couple, you wear your mate's undies?
Yeah, it was only a couple of times. I was running out of.
Have you ever worn your wife's undies?
No. Hold it. Let me say. So I ran out of undies, and then me and my mate were away on this trip. We're on a road trip, okay? Yeah. Just working on my headspace
road
and stuff.
Trip.
Yeah. Anyway, so I had no clean undies, okay? So I didn't want to freeball it. So I said to my mate, "You got any clean undies?" And he goes, "Yeah." So he gave them to me, and then I wore them. I've done it like once or twice, and. And then one day he saw me, I was bending over doing something, and then he goes, "Are they my undies?"
Oh.
So you didn't give them back either?
No, I bought him another pair of undies. I bought him like a pair of five Bonds, so I'm a Bonds man.
Oh, that's all right, yeah. You're different colour for a different day.
Yeah.
Seven packs.
It was five pack, and it was the really good one. And I knew his size and that because obviously I'm wearing his undies, and even to be honest.
Are you similar sizes?
Oh, look, to be honest, with my ass.
You know what? I doubt it.
Oh, yeah.
Front end, back end.
But I made it all happen. But that's not even bad. Hey, I've got another friend, okay? This is a real issue. I got another friend.
It's a real issue.
I've got some weird friends. I know I'm a bit different, okay? Yeah. So my friend, when he likes playing dress-ups and that, like I can't say who it is, but he's very high profile.
Was he a Bronco?
No, mate. Oi.
What?
You're trying to zero in.
No.
Was he a Wallaby?
I can't say.
Just high profile. What does he do?
Every now and then he likes dress-ups and that, and he likes wearing his wife's G-string. I can't say who it is, but he just thought it was funny.
I find a G-string uncomfortable, yeah. I reckon, up the Jack's Crackers. And
I see you've tried it on, haven't you?
Well, I'm just assuming.
Yeah,
well,
okay.
Well, I've worn a G-string once. Dancing with the Stars, they made me wear a G-string. I didn't want to.
They did.
Hey, so back onto the original question. Yeah. Would you, though? Would you
I wear mates? Absolutely, if I needed to, because I don't like freeballing either.
Exactly.
What's wrong with, like, I don't know. I'd rather freeball, to be honest. No, but I mean, it could be sweaty, anything.
No, we're not saying used on the floor. Yeah. We're just saying pick him out of his top drawer if you ran out.
And sometimes, guys, I've got to say this. Look, I don't want to toot my own horn, but if you freeball and you're walking around and that, it's not acceptable really sometimes.
Yeah, exactly right. Yeah. Give us a call, 1-333-53. It's a first world problem. Can you wear your mate's undies? I say yes. Del says yes. Jude says no.
I'd rather wear mine for a few days, you know.
No.
Mate.
Okay, mate, we get it. You're sexy.
I'm just saying, I'm not going to put on Gus's undies and there's a big skid mark in there.
Excuse me.
So you'd wear those big wife,
I used to.
Yeah.
The Calvins.
Yeah.
What about Sean in Belmont? Can you wear your mate's undies, Shawnee?
Yes, definitely. Well, this was not by choice. I went away for a weekend.
Yeah.
And I packed my wife's underwear by mistake. And I was out the next day, and I kept on getting a bloody wedgie. And I thought, what's going on with these undies? So I ended up going to the Brasco, and I realised I had my wife's lacy undies on.
Sexy, yes, Shawnee. Thank you very much, big fella.
Let's go to Wayne. How are you, Wayne?
Hey, mate, how you going?
Not too bad. Good, can brother. You wear your mate's undies?
I think if you need them in a hurry, you just turn them inside out, put your pants back over them, and off you go.
Yeah, pretty practical. Yeah. Practical.
Yeah. Nicely done, Wayne. So plenty of people giving us a bit of support.
I told you, Jude. Yeah, guys.
What about Matty? What do you think, Matt?
Yeah, mate, definitely. I was playing footy back in the day and forgot the old Reg Grundy. So one of the boys had a spare pair, clean, of course.
Mm.
Yeah. So I whacked them on. There's no way you're playing footy without a pair of Regs.
Yeah, that's a fair point. Yeah.
But I actually played a pretty good game and scored a meaty, so I didn't score many tries back in the day, so I actually kept the undies and wore them every game for a couple of years.
Oh, they were your lucky ones after that.
Clever. Yeah, they were my lucky ones, yeah.
Lucky undies. So we've put it out there, first world problems. Is it okay to wear your other people's undies? Yes, Del?
Yeah, I know. I reckon we're going to go right here. What did I say?
80%.
I told you.
God, that's 80% resounding.
Of people. That's resounding. That's on you, Jude Bolton.
And you know what? And you know what, boys? I'm going to be honest here because you know I'm a bit different, okay? And I used to be a winger. Okay, my manager at the time, he used to wear G-strings. Like, I can't
say. Mate, you're throwing some people under the bus today.
Yeah, I know.
Honestly. No. We're about to speak to Laura Carney. She found a note in her father's jacket after he passed away. It was a bucket list. She decided to take on the bucket list herself. G'day, Laura. Where did you find the note?
I found it in November 2016. I was actually visiting my brother up at his, he had just bought his first house up in Massachusetts. You know, it was just one of those moments where as soon as my husband and I saw it, I knew I needed to finish it to honor my dad.
Some people have, you know, a few things on their bucket list. This was a list of 60 things to do, and you've completed all of them. What's been some of the hardest tasks to complete?
Oh, gosh. Write and have a few novels published. That was not an easy one.
Yeah.
I took a little bit of poetic license there. My book is a memoir. My dad was a writer, too, though, so he self-published a book in the 70s. Surprisingly, beat a number one seed in a tennis tournament. I actually played tennis in high school. I thought I was going to do that in one day. And I tore a tendon in my foot and needed surgery. Oh. So that was a hard one. What else? Okay, own a large house and our own land. You know, we rent an apartment here in New Jersey. I really wasn't sure how to do that. And quite honestly, the pandemic did kind of put a dent in things for me, but that was one of those situations where the pandemic actually helped because the only thing we could do for travel was go out camping. And my husband just so happened to buy a tent that was really large. It was for three people. And I looked up House of the Dictionary and it's technically just a shelter. So I thought, hey, we checked that one off.
Nice.
Laura, what do you think makes a special bond between a daughter and a father?
Oh, wow. I mean, just in general, I think that our fathers, I think our mothers really teach us about nurturing and family. And I think our fathers sort of represent for us who we are out in the world. I think that's true for both sons and daughters. And, you know, in my case, I had just happened to have a lot in common with my dad. We were kindred spirits. We were both creative people. And I had reached a stage in my life where I'd just gotten married, but I also you know, I really wanted to keep pursuing this career as a writer. And I think being reminded of what he cared about in life really helped me to do that.
Laura, number 6 and number 27 interest me a lot. I mean, one was meet a president and also correspond with the Pope. How were you able to tick those off?
Yeah, those are some of the ones that seemed really impossible when I first saw it. Like a lot of list items, just little miracles would happen at the very last minute. You know, with talk with the president, I was on a TV show. I was doing an interview, and someone emailed me and said, hey, you know, if any president will do, you should know Jimmy Carter still teaches Sunday school every Sunday in Plains, Georgia. Wow. And, I mean, God bless him. Jimmy Carter was 92 years old, but he was still teaching that same class. And I looked it up, and I found out I could get a seat, a pew in the church. And I didn't even know until once we got down there whether I would be able to talk to him, because he doesn't do that. He just lets people take pictures with him after he finishes. But luckily, we just so happened to meet his biographer in our hotel, and I had been binging on Jimmy Carter for a week, so I had a lot to talk about, and he put in a good word for us. So really, a lot of things would happen that were like right place, right time.
We've got 5 daughters in here in this studio, so you certainly touched us, and we'd hope one day our daughter would do the same sort of thing for us. It's a wonderful journey. If you want to hear more about it, Laura's journey is on myfatherslist.com, and you can get the details also at Amazon. Laura, thank you so much, and congratulations. It's a great idea, and the fact you've gone through and done it, good on you. Like, yeah, great tribute to your dad.
The Rush Hour with Gus, Jude and Wendell, weekdays from 4 on Triple M.